From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. In a few minutes, you'll hear about a building in downtown Dallas with a surprising film history. We begin, though, in the Bishop Arts District of North Oak Cliff. Developer Alamo Manhattan tonight will unveil a revision of plans to build a five-story mixed-use development. Interest in the neighborhood from Alamo Manhattan and other developers has sparked debate about how the new Bishop Arts should look, but Kat Chow reports longtime residents are more concerned about being pushed out of the place they call home.
Ramon Mejia is driving down Davis, the main street of Bishop Arts.
This way. This is where the big development is going to go here.
So we're in his car, rolling by the low-slung shops this area is known for. He's pointing to a few standalone restaurants and bars where developers want to build something called the Bishop Arts Gateway. The original design had 57,000 square feet of apartments, retail, and parking, five stories tall.
This here is not for me. It's not for my family.
Mejia's lived a few miles south of here for almost his whole life. He was born up the street at Methodist Hospital. His mom and dad and aunts and uncles still live in the same houses in the mostly Latino working class areas. Mejia thinks developments like the one proposed by Alamo Manhattan are going to push out people who look like him.
I'm not concerned with that aesthetics. If a big building was being built, but it was going to be for the community and it was going to be used for community members, then I'd be totally for it. But
he's already seen places and people go. Just this summer, a Mexican ice cream shop closed and is moving to Arlington. Its rent shot up from $1,600 to $6,000 a month. He points out that Latino families in the block surrounding the Hip Arts District are starting to sell out to lock in profits and avoid rising property taxes. Kevin Sloan is a landscape architect and UT Arlington professor. He told KERA earlier this summer, proposals like Alamo Manhattan's and Bishop Arts are popping up because of a zoning change that allows 5 to 8 story buildings. To Sloan, that's a problem.
If Dallas is going to compete more on a world stage with other North American and global cities, it needs to not turn Bishop Arts into a place that looks like everywhere else.
That's not what Matt Segrist, president of the Alamo Manhattan Group, says he's trying to do.
One of the reasons we want to be in Bishop Arts area is because we like it. You know, we're trying to connect with that, conform to that, to complement that.
Alamo Manhattan has hosted multiple community meetings. They'll have another to unveil the new plan tonight at 7 at Methodist Hospital.
That's part of that public feedback is part of the process. It's a very rigorous process where you've got to kind of submit yourself before the community and take it and hopefully take it with no ego and learn from it.
From all this, Segrist says he's learned a lot. He hopes the new plans will prove he's trying to fit into the neighborhood's character. And if his timeline goes according to plan, he says construction will start next year. Meanwhile, just a few blocks away on the other side of Bishop Arts, the Nazarian family has begun another big development. For Bishop Arts, a lot of people worry there's no going back. Kat Chow, KERA News.
Alamo Manhattan will unveil its new plan tonight at 7 at Methodist Hospital's Hitt Auditorium. Dallas will recognize a piece of its history about a half hour from now. A bronze marker will be installed at Dallas Love Field. It's near the spot where Lyndon Johnson took the oath of office to become president after John F. Kennedy's assassination in 1963. Johnson was sworn in aboard Air Force One while it was parked on the tarmac. That spot was previously marked with an orange square. A city spokesman says the marker on the tarmac won't be at the exact spot because it's an air operations area and they don't want the marker damaged. Eventually, a light will mark the exact spot. Next, we look a few miles southeast to 508 Park Avenue in downtown. Legends like Robert Johnson and Gene Autry recorded there, but that important piece of music history can overshadow the significant role the building played in movie history. Our big screen team talks about an era when some of Hollywood's biggest films were distributed through Dallas.
I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And I'm Stephen Becker with KERA. And this week, we're talking to Pat Bywaters, executive director of Encore Park, which encompasses 508 Park, as well as the 508 Amphitheater, which will host a special film series beginning this weekend. Pat, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We'll get to that film series in just a second, but first, can you explain what went on in the building during the 30s and 40s and 50s from a film perspective?
Sure. So Warner Brothers, toward the end of the 1920s, was building film exchanges around the country. This was one of several that were built. There was one built also in New Orleans. And a film exchange is where all the films would have been, after they were copied, they would have been sent to a regional film exchange. And this is where the movie theater owners would have come to sign a deal to have a film delivered to their theater. And then it would be returned and inspected and put away for the next theater.
If we would have walked into that building back during that heyday, do you have an idea of what we would have seen, what it would have looked like in there?
Yeah, absolutely. What you would have seen is a lot of guys moving these film transportation cans, and it would have been really noisy because these things clank and make a lot of noise coming in and out. They have handles. They're kind of octagonal shaped, hold about 3 reels of film each, and they would have been moving them in and out of inspection and then moving them in and out of the film vaults based on what the orders for the day were.
So for this three-part series you're doing, we're starting in 1938?
I believe that's right, yeah, with the Adventures of Robin Hood film.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, that was one of the early films that was actually a Technicolor film. It wasn't the first, but those came out in 1938.
And before the Adventures of Robin Hood on Sunday, you're showing an early Tex Avery cartoon called Cinderella Meets Fella.
Give me the police! Hello? Police? This is Cinderella. My fairy godmother is 15 minutes late, and she's supposed to be here.
What was the significance of those cartoons like that? How were those distributed out?
My understanding is they were distributed the same way. They handled the 35mm films as well as 16mm films. It wasn't just Warner Brothers that was housing films there. There were other groups that were housing films there and being distributed.
So the second film you're showing is a little movie called Casablanca, which a few people may have heard of.
A few people may have heard of that one, yeah.
Out there. But then you're closing out on October 4th with a movie called Dallas, starring Gary Cooper.
The great Southwest, in the lusty days when Dallas was a brawling frontier town, when lawlessness rode unchallenged through the streets, and the badge of justice was only as good as the aim of the man who wore it.
Yeah, and that's a fascinating film. It's not the Dallas series that we all know and love from the 80s.
Dallas, the early years.
Yes, this is
yeah,
Dallas,
this is
the
a
early
Western.
Years.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. It's both a Civil War movie and a Western. And the thing that's interesting about it is it's a Civil War film without any African Americans in it, and it's a Western film without any Native Americans in it. So go figure. But they made it.
Theoretically, you could have shown these movies anywhere. What's the significance to showing them in this place that is significant to the films?
We're trying to educate people on what the history of Dallas is and where Dallas has played significant roles, both in film and music, because those were major parts of the history of the 508 building. Most people don't even know what a film exchange is. So by showing it at the amphitheater next to the film exchange, we have that opportunity for people to begin to connect a little bit more with where Dallas has been in its past and where it's going in the future.
Pat Bywaters, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Pat.
That was our big screen team, Stephen Becker and Chris Wagner. Details on the 508 Park Movie Night series are at artandseek.org. In the forecast, sunny skies, high of 95 today, 77 now in Dallas, 75 in Fort Worth. You can find KERA on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter at KERA News. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.